This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi, listeners. Friendly reminder that Girls on Porn now has a Patreon. If you like the show and want to support, you can find us at patreon.com/girlsonporn.
Welcome to Girls on Porn. I'm Rachel.
I'm Laura.
And we love porn.
This is our porn review podcast.
We talk about what we love and we roast what we hate.
Helping you find hot, ethical, just plain better porn for your spank bank.
And we're looking at everything. Before we introduce the topic, we have a sexy little segment for you today.
69 Seconds of Sex News.
We've pulled headlines from the news to keep you informed and horny. Here we go.
Stop kissing your chickens. The CDC warned that backyard poultry owners should take special precautions when handling their animals after 163 confirmed cases of salmonella were reported in 43 states. Don't kiss or snuggle backyard poultry, and don't eat or drink around them. This can spread salmonella germs to your mouth and make you sick, the CDC said. I legitimately love chickens, and I personally am devastated by this news.
Thai police raided a drug-fueled sex party in Bangkok last week and arrested dozens of people for breaching coronavirus restrictions as Thailand grapples to control a surge in COVID-19 cases. 30 police officers in PPE arrested 62 men in a sauna in Bangkok's Wang Thong Lang district. I can't believe I have to say this, but COVID still isn't over. Well, you know what they say. When in Wang Thong Lang, be safe, don't get COVID.
A man in England was arrested this week for indecent exposure after jerking off near a group of teenagers. This is the kind of run-of-the-mill sex crime you hear about all the time, except that this guy had a more interesting rap sheet. Travis Smith narrowly avoided a jail sentence in 2019 after he was caught having sex with a traffic cone. He was caught by a member of the Virgin Train staff, sitting on the floor of a train station elevator with his pants down, thrusting his hips with a cone turned upside down on his lap. Should have kept your cone to yourself, bud.
And in some more personally exciting news that will definitely no longer be news by the time this episode is released, are Taika Waititi, Rita Ora, and Tessa Thompson having threesomes? Did my wet dreams become a reality? Are they accepting applications for future collaborations? Please advise.
Yeah, that was hot news.
It was hot news. It was a hot pick, hot news, and will definitely be old news by the time this episode comes out. Because something that's only hot for like a week, and then a month later, we're like, did you guys see that, though? Did you see it? So today's topic.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I'm bracing for an interesting one here. You know, like thinking ahead about this episode, 150 episodes deep. I don't know where we are. I keep just being like, I know that we had a benchmark a long time ago that was 100 episodes.
We're somewhere in between 100 and 150. I can tell you that.
Okay, so we would have noted the 150 benchmark because I've assumed the next one was 200. Okay, good to know. So 120, aren't there, I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just was like, schoolgirl, like, god damn it. I know that I'm going to just wax fucking poetic about the patriarchy and about like blah blah blah, like men love to objectify nubile baby girls, you know, that's what I don't want to talk about this entire episode, but it's unavoidable.
Right, I know it is unavoidable, but also let's flip the script, as they say.
Okay
Do you, let's just go a little bit, let's make the lens a little broader. Do you like to wear outfits?
For sex.
For sex.
Do you like to wear outfits?
I prefer outfits over no outfits. Yes, I'm okay, not a cool. nudity, a nudist or an exhibitionist.
Okay.
I do like to wear outfits. No, I don't have a particular like
thing for
sex
or
outfit. Yeah, yeah. Like if anything, like the stuff that makes me feel sexiest is like a loose tee that like dangles off my tits just so and like shows off my abs, or that's fun to like reach underneath,
or like spoken like a true bisexual.
I like loose tee. What could I say? That are like sometimes some like lacy high waisted underwear. That's a trend I'm into right now.
Uh-huh. Lingerie.
Have I ever worn? So I own so much lingerie and it just never finds its way into my sex life because
tisk tisk.
I know. I have to figure that out. It's part of who I am and that I'm not big on dressing up. Like I hate going to a party and being like, I'm the dressiest person here. Like that is not my comfort zone.
Yeah.
So being like wearing lingerie to a sex act feels like the similar thing, you know, like it sort of has to be like pre-planned. Be like, I'm showing up fancy to the party. Yeah. Am I alone in
that? The best. But then also you're like, I'm top of the best dress list, you know, like I won.
Yes. I think that's much more your thing.
That's what I think. Yeah. I'm like, don't invite me to your wedding because I'm wearing a gown.
Yeah, you know? See, my best dress vibe is that crop tee. Where we're like, Laura, your abs look good. And I'm like, I know, but I'm going to act like I didn't know.
Right.
And it's just fun surprise that it like I'm wearing something that shows off my body. But in like a casual, I'm not trying to. Like, I'm literally wearing a crop tee
right now
as we talk about this. You can't see the whole thing. But anyway, but you were asking about outfits.
Yes,
so like,
yes. Would you like if someone was like, I have like a schoolgirl fantasy. Would you be like, yeah, I'll do that?
Yeah, like, absolutely, if I trusted them. Like, I did some role play this year, and it was really fun. And, I mean, I guess you could say that I sort of
wore an
outfit for that. Yeah, uniforms weren't part of it.
It wasn't a maid. It wasn't like
It was, like, I did sort of dress the part. Like, I thought about what I wore to the quote-unquote date for the role play. But it wasn't, I didn't like shop for it. It wasn't outside of my, it was like dressing for an audition, you know, where I was I'm in character, but it wasn't like anything outside of my wardrobe. It was just skewing my wardrobe, like sort of a specific vibe for that role play, you know?
Schoolgirl uniforms are really hot to me.
Oh, okay. So you're
and,
into them.
Yeah, I'm into them. And I think it's, I don't know if it's because like, it was like I felt like there was something that happened fashion-wise in the 90s where like schoolgirl was like kind of like a thing with like the knee-high socks and like the loafers and things like that.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's been a thing for like decades.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But like, I mean, just like in terms of like fashion, like I'm thinking like Clueless. You know what I'm saying?
Where, like, you're thinking Clueless. You're like, thinking Britney Spears.
Like Hit Me Baby One More Time.
Yes.
Like where it was like, we were doing it. Like, it wasn't, like, required. You know
it had
I mean?
A moment. It I'm seeing Cher and Clueless now and knowing exactly which era you mean. Yes.
Right. Like, it was, like, heavily influenced. And I think that, and, like, that to me is hot. I have never in my life worn a school uniform.
Like, in real life?
No.
You've never worn a uniform to school?
I've never been required to, but I have, I don't know, I would definitely be into that. Like, I mean, also, specifically Catholic schoolgirl, the thing that's hot too, I think when we think about it in general is like the idea of like sexual repression, you know?
Yes.
And then them being like secretly naughty, you know, like that's what's, I think
you're a bad
hot.
Girl and the easy access is there.
Right.
Like that's sort of the trope.
Uh-huh.
On top of just the general like the soft skin of teenage.
And also,
you know,
like I
shit.
I self-identify as a brat, and like schoolgirls and brats like go hand in hand. You know?
Yeah.
Like a bossy, like mouthy sub. So like that works really well. You know?
Yeah, I like this kind of schoolgirl a lot better than a lot of what I think about when I think about the schoolgirl tropes. So this is helping me. I appreciate your support.
Oh, yeah,
in this.
Of course.
This is good.
We're just trying to, you know.
Now, you
think
were
about
not
it
raised
night.
Catholic or were
no.
you? Like, there was none of that in your Italian background.
Which is really strange because my dad is very Catholic. And my mom was like, nah. Nah.
I gotta say, like, props to mom for that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Both of my parents went to Catholic school.
Yeah. And my dad did too. Yeah. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. And then they became hippies and sort of like rejected their Catholicism. And then they weirdly did a thing for the early years of my life where they would still take us to church, like occasionally. But then by the time I got my like first Holy Communion, they were like, okay, that's enough. And like, we just didn't like going. I don't know how much influence we had as kids on being like, fuck this.
Right.
But the only association I have with that kind of uniform is from like Sunday school.
Oh, sure.
Is like this itchy knee highs. They're so itchy. The itchy plaid, like the itchy wool plaid skirt and the like blouse, you know, like that's as close as we get. So I think it's so far back in my history. Like we're talking pre 8 years old that any thought of wearing that again is associated with that time for me. Yeah. So it's like, it's too far back. It's gross. Like, no, no, no.
Sure, sure. I didn't have that. So maybe that's why I'm a little bit more comfortable with it.
Yeah, it's like it has to depend on your association. And like, listen, if I had to wear that uniform in high school and was like coming into my own sexually and had crushes and whatever, like, and that outfit was involved in that capacity, maybe I would have a different relationship with it.
Right.
You know, but for me, it just reminds me of like too early of
too
a time
early.
and just like discomfort as a child. So like, I don't want to incorporate that into my sex play.
There's also like the boarding school thing too, like the Upper East Side, Upper West Side, like those kind of like preparatory school like uniforms. Mm-hmm. That's also kind of same thing, like sexual repression, but it takes like the religion aspect out of it. Where again, it's like this, like, you know, because when you think about uniforms, they're like they completely get rid of your personality. They're constrictive, like, and then the idea that like actually like there's like this hot, like, you know what I mean, like you're this boiling sexuality underneath it is a turn on.
Yeah, it's obvious tension, right? Like if the uniform itself is designed for conformity, like you said, it is literally designed to create uniformity, to be like, you don't have a personality, therefore you don't have sexuality. Then it's fun to push against that and think about breaking that code. Yeah.
I'm horny.
Yes. My sexuality is brimming over and spilling out from these stockings and this skirt, you know?
Yeah. And there's also like the whole like Japanese school uniform too, which became really sexualized and then was like just part of like Japanese fashion in general. The mini skirts and things like that.
Yeah. And thanks to the Japanese trend combined with the Western trends, both religious and otherwise, it is the biggest fetishized uniform. Like it is. Some of the most fetishized clothing.
Right. Well, because everyone likes young girls. If we've learned anything.
I think the young girl aspect is helping, you know, in our generally patriarchal societies across the globe. Yeah, that could be part of it.
Right.
That could be part of it.
It's also like kind of crazy to think about. Like I was really like grasping at straws for this episode. Like I was like trying to look at like the history of the school uniform, and it was Christ's Hospital School in England in 1552 was the first school to use a school uniform. It was first used in Japan in the late 19th century, replacing the traditional kimono. And what's interesting is like both the UK and in Japan, like school uniforms are still part of like the very common in both public and private school systems. One of the biggest criticisms of these school uniforms is that it imposes like gender stereotypes, right, from like a very young age. And it's insane because we're putting like there, it's meant to constrict movement. Like we're putting little girls in skirts so that way they know like not to show off their butts and crotches, you know?
Do you think so?
Yes. 100%.
Do you think that we're doing that to tell them not to?
Yes.
To provide access to that? Or is it just historically that like women wear skirts and it's just feminizing women and saying like, you have to conform to this gender stereotype?
I think it's both. I think it's saying, you're wearing a skirt so that way you learn how to sit and run and play a certain way, you know? So that way you can't show off, you can't like do what the boys do because they wear pants, you know?
Yeah. Okay, I see what you're saying now. At first, I was like, I might disagree with this, But because I don't actually know the origins of like skirts, like I like men have worn them historically as well as women, you know, in different cultures. So I'm like, yeah, how did the skirt evolve and how much of that is actually, here we go, patriarchy being like, okay, you can't, you know, do the various things that men do. Like pants are designed for that freedom, but like a little bit of that chicken and the egg of like, oh, if the men are warriors or if the men need to climb up a thing and like if the men need pants that like spread, whereas like women should never be doing those kinds of activities. Yeah, I definitely, I see how that like reinforces that and is sort of an echo through history, I guess.
Some of these school uniforms also even had like little aprons for like little tiny girls to wear to be like, you're gonna need it.
Yeah, that's aggressive. That's like, we'll put it there for their like home ec class.
Right.
Which is, can we just talk about how home economics is the funniest name? Like for years and years, home ec, I just like didn't know what the fuck it stood for, didn't care. Like home economics, like that's not what
it is. What does it have to do with?
Home economics would mean like teaching women how to like barter over a mortgage, you know? Yeah, right. Like home economics is not like, so cooking is economics? Like, no. These it's culinary class, you know? Yeah. It's sewing and culinary class.
I have some fun little stats. Actually, I have one.
Okay.
One stat for you. Schoolgirl is 139% more popular in the UK.
Okay. Come through, that, UK.
It tracks for me, though, because, you know, they
because the uniforms are popular there.
They have to wear a uniform.
Yeah.
Every public, every school is required.
Every single school? Or were you just saying it was more popular? I genuinely don't know.
I think it's every single school. Like, I think every school you have to wear a uniform.
Okay, I'm seeing a Brit tomorrow and I'm going to ask her and
please do.
Because
please do. Like, you go to like Marks and Spencer's or whatever, and there's like a section that's just dedicated to
school uniforms.
The uniforms that you have to wear.
And they're all those like polos. They're all like terrible short sleeve polos.
Yeah. And the little like socks, you know? Yeah.
So grateful I didn't have to.
I know.
Deal with that.
Right. But I desperately, desperately wanted to be Britney Spears and Baby One More Time.
And that's another way we were different. I spent years feeling competitive with her or feeling like she was thrust upon me and I wasn't into it. And now I love her and I worry about her and I'm writing a TV show essentially about the underbelly of pop culture.
So. Hashtag free Britney. Should we do the showdown?
Let's do a fucking showdown.
Okay, great.
Dare I say I'm pretty excited about a couple of these. Oh. So that's not always the case. Sometimes I'm hit or miss, but I feel really good about these.
Okay. Naughty schoolgirl gives a sloppy blowjob and rides big dildo till come. Heart. Heart emoji.
Oh, it's sweet. It's romantic. We got a little heart in there. Slash we're like infantilizing it because she's
gives a sloppy blowjob and then rides a big dildo.
Rides a big dildo. So. Heart.
Yeah.
The heart is there to give us that.
To make us
emoji.
Feel good about ourselves.
No, I think it's there to be like, because it's a schoolgirl. Like, she drew little hearts. Oh, like, the heart in that porn title is the pink fluffy pen in both references, Clueless and Tammy Baby One More Time.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Heart.
Okay. Lewd schoolgirl was caught dreaming of a hard dick during her exam.
Ooh.
They caught her. I don't know how. I don't know how you know someone's inner thoughts, but maybe she was drawing dicks. Maybe it was you, Rachel. Is this about you?
That's my memoir, honestly.
That too
was
many dicks.
To really me. Okay. Schoolgirl fucking yourself after classes with dildo.
Good.
Fucking yourself.
I don't know. The journey of the pronouns there. Yeah. The schoolgirl fucking yourself. Yeah.
After classes.
Yeah.
With the dildo. Lots of dildos, you know.
Yeah.
With schoolgirls.
At least in your case.
Yeah. Well,
I, on the other hand, have OMG, step bro, I'm not doing your homework. Fuck my big ass, quarantine fuck. And I did emphasize ass because it is in all caps. That is,
I bet it
I'm
is.
Not doing your homework. Fuck my big ass. Quarantine. Fuck.
Wow. That's so who wins in that scenario?
COVID.
I'm not doing your homework. Yeah, COVID.
It's a quarantine. Fuck. So.
Oh, girl gets fucked for homework for the first time and she likes it. Does she?
Oh, she gets fucked for homework. So she's...
I don't know
getting
if she's
fucked to hand over her homework. Like, she's the horny one. Is she like, I'll fuck, but you gotta take my homework?
Or is someone doing her homework for her? I'm not sure.
Yeah,
the goods for services is not clear here.
Yeah, exactly. I don't understand the transaction. I'm unclear on what the exchange is here.
Mm-hmm.
To Stepsis, are you trying to give a pussy show to everyone at school? Season 15, episode 8.
Wait, you know what this is actually making me think of? Okay, this is wild, but go with me here. Did you ever see the movie Babel?
No.
Okay, all right. Anyways, it's a bunch of different storylines, and there's one storyline about this girl in Japan, and she's like this horny, like, schoolgirl, and she goes to the dentist, and she, like, goes to the dentist without panties on and, like, shows her pussy to the dentist. It was really wild. It was really wild. It was like a full bush. And, I know. And
you took a turn there. I mean, that's just a regular old schoolgirl. I don't see a stepsister or a multi-season arc there.
I just made me think of Pussy Show and Schoolgirl.
Are you trying to give a pussy show to everyone at school?
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I would love to know what a pussy show entails.
I mean, I think you just said it, you know, it's just showing it.
I don't know. Maybe there are tricks involved.
There would be. I would hope so. But I would think that, like, by definition, technically just flashing
there's a closing
pussy
number.
Is a pussy show. Yeah, I want an entr'acte. I want an overture. I want full theatrics. You know, I want a production.
Mm-hmm. I want spectacle.
Yeah. What do you have any more for me? Okay.
In a math lesson, a girl fingering a dick of a deskmate. It makes no sense.
Read it one more time. In a math.
In a math lesson, a girl fingering a dick of a deskmate. I don't know why it's making me laugh so hard.
It's the alliteration. It's also like picturing like fingering a dick.
A fingering
like
a
it actually
dick.
Desexualizes it. I'm just picturing someone just like
but also just, like a deskmate. Like, isn't that a brand of something? Like, it's like a brand
of school supply. It might be like deskmate notebooks. Like, might be a thing. I genuinely can't remember.
It sounds like it, or like the new highlighters from Deskmate. Like,
yeah. I don't know, but I mean, I assumed it was like
somebody
that you shared. Because you used to share desks. That's a thing,
right?
Like, you'd have one big wide desk. I was picturing the, like, solo ones where you have your own desk.
And you could lift them up and there'd be stuff inside. Loved those ones.
Huh? Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because that's where I'd be drawing my dicks. I'd lift it up and sneakily draw my dicks in the...
Oh, on the desk? Or you'd draw them on a piece of paper inside the desk?
Yeah, because you'd be hidden by the top desk. Yeah.
Wow, you were really into this. You really are Jonah Hill and Superbad, and I appreciate it.
100%.
Yeah. I get it. Okay. Let me get an orgasm after school. Push back my panties, deluxe girl.
Whole she title. Doesn't want a snack. She wants an orgasm.
Yeah. All in caps, too.
Mm-hmm.
Let me get an orgasm after school. Push back my panties.
Like, she's furious.
We are demanding this. We are staking our claim.
You know? It's a tough day at school.
Uh-huh.
What baby wants, baby gets. Okay. Last one. Pink pussy teen skips school to come. Twice. I was so wet.
Wait, did the girl who came become the person?
Yes.
Who was so wet? So she spoke about herself.
Herself.
She referred to herself in third person and then
as a pink
took
pussy
over
teen.
The first person. Yes,
And then she was like, guys, I gotta
let
you know.
Plot twist, it's me.
I gotta let you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dot, dot, dot. Twice.
Twice. Okay. Last one from me.
Uh-huh.
Many squirting nipple masturbation, wet pussy, petite Asian teen schoolgirl.
Word salad.
Yeah. The delight here is that we have many of something. And I'm pretty sure the only thing it could be true to is the nipple. Excuse me. So many nipple. Squirting nipple. Many squirting nipple, masturbation,
got it.
Wet pussy, petite Asian teen schoolgirl.
Oh, mm-hmm. Wow. And they just threw schoolgirl in at the end.
Yeah. Does this one remind you of Babel, too?
No. This one makes me think of a cow because of many squirt nipple.
You know? Mm-hmm. That's all I can think of.
So yeah, like where multiple are we? Squirting
I'm trying
nipples.
To picture where we are in the world. It's confusing. You know?
I'm trying to get turned on by trying to grasp at straws here.
There's not much
arousal.
For me.
Yeah.
I'm trying to like pick and choose the word, you know, but all I can think of is many squirting nipples.
You're trying to take
nipple.
That word salad, that cloud of nonsense, and find something in it that you can decipher. Yeah, you're doing the Queen's Gambit. Yes. Like you're looking up at the tiles.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Looking up at the word salad, being like, how do I? There's cow udders. There's an Asian teen. We have nipples.
What's the cup? How do I break this?
How do I solve for this? Well, let's take a break and you can see your way to the other side of that. Best of luck.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers. Aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Schoolgirl snitch, Natalie Mars, punished and fucked by headmaster.
We should clarify that this is our ethical choice. I feel like we read that like a showdown title. I liked it.
Well, yeah, because like this is from kink.com. So this is like, you know, pretty hardcore BDSM.
Mm-hmm.
Directed by Cherry Torn, who actually we've featured as a performer, I think.
We've talked about Cherry Torn before.
Femdom.
For sure.
Yeah, I think she's like an amazing dominatrix.
Yeah.
And then Natalie Mars, who we've never featured, but is an amazing performer.
Mm-hmm.
And Dale Savage, who I think was also in the Age Play episode.
Oh, did we talk about Dale Savage once before?
I think so. I don't know. Or maybe he just seemed really familiar to me.
He didn't to me. That's so funny.
Oh.
I wonder if I just, I could genuinely be wrong. I'd have to look back at the episode because I don't know.
Yeah.
That's so funny. I might have, but I maybe just didn't feel if
any
whatever we
way.
Talked about like didn't feature him sort of cheery and polite and uncomfortable in an interview. Like I might not remember because the most notable thing about him to me in this video is the interview beforehand he's like the sweetest dad at the barbecue. Like that is just the vibe I got. Like
the kindest.
Like, likewise, excited to be here and
really
working
can't
with
wait.
Natalie is absolutely the best. You know,
right.
So
that's what I say. I mean, that's why like Kink is amazing because you get these little pre-interviews where like they go through safe words, you know, the things they like, and we hear what Natalie's looking for. It's her fantasy. Like she's always had a schoolgirl fantasy and she's going to be the sub in this. And that's really exciting. And yeah, so it's just like it's so comforting to know because once we get into the actual like, plot of this, it's kind of like consensual non-consent.
Yeah. You know? Yes. Yeah. The actual setup, the actual story of it is very much non-consent. It's a headmaster that this little brat played by Natalie is going to say, like, and this person was cheating off my paper. And he's like, we make the discipline here. Like, we make the rules and we don't tolerate tattletales.
Yeah.
And it's time that I discipline you. And it's very much like that, fantasy of non-consent, because she's like, what are you doing? Like, I don't know.
I don't want this. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't like this. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
As opposed to...
This doesn't seem appropriate, you know?
Yeah, as opposed to her being thirsty for it. Yeah, this doesn't seem appropriate. It was a standout.
Yeah.
Like, that is something
a
little intelligent brat would say.
Right. And I mean, she was like, this is very unorthodox. And she's like, doing a great job pretending she doesn't like it. Mm-hmm. And she's like, you know, acting like she hates it. But obviously we know that that's not true because we saw the pre-interview where she's like, this is what I want, you know?
Yeah, and she specifically lists things. She's like, I like spanking. I like paddling. I like nipple torture. The only thing she said was like, no heavy caning. Like, don't bruise me because I have a shoot in a few days.
Right.
You know?
Which is great. So,
and then the other thing she does well, too, is like, gently start to enjoy it. Like, generally speaking, it's more resistance than it is like her. Like, it's not the mainstream trope of like, oh, miraculously, she's like, oh, I love this and I need you to fuck me. That cock has to be insane to me. Like, it's not that. It's her still being like, this isn't appropriate. Like, this is, I don't know. And then being like, ah, oh, like, and like enjoying the nipple torture, for example. Right.
That was something that actually stood out to me too, is like when he like unbuttons her shirt and starts like massaging her tits. He squeezes at her nipples and she like rolls her eyes back and like obviously really is into it.
Yes. And as a fellow nipple enthusiast, I was like, yeah, girl. Yeah.
Yeah. I loved like all the spanking, you know, I'm a big fan of spanking, and there was the ruler, the classic ruler, which was nice. Mm-hmm. You've got to have that if you're going to do like a headmaster or a schoolgirl fantasy.
Yeah. And also then, might've been a paint stirrer. Hard to say.
Tough to say. Tough to say, really.
Just a flat piece of wood, you know, a little narrow piece of wood.
Dale Savage is like such a, like a, he's an, like a silver fox. Like, he's like a daddy and he's got these like big hands and they just, he like smacks her ass. I was like, oh, that looks good.
Yeah. Yeah. And he does some other like creative play with the, I don't really want to call it a wood switch, but this ruler. Yeah. The piece of wood where, so we cut to the sort of second act where she's fully like
bound.
Bound. Yes. Thank you. Yeah. I was like bonded up. I was like, what is the word I'm looking for?
In this amazing like old school chair that like would be in like a private school or like a Catholic school. You know what
I mean? It's a full apparatus that has, that sort of archaic feeling. Uh-huh. Like it feels like a torture device, but it also feels like something you would find
with these
in
like
that
mahogany
setting.
So feels like leather straps.
Thick leather straps around her like arms and her legs are hoisted up.
Uh-huh.
And her, this is like every time I watch ball torture, I'm like, the things that balls can do.
I had to look it up.
What that device was called?
I had
never seen that before. That was a surprise. So basically, to describe it for the listener, Natalie is bound up in this chair that we've described and then also has her like cock poking through this like these two pieces of plastic and balls wedged between the two pieces of plastic. Uh-huh. And with these like little widgets, like screws, like that twist to get tighter on her balls. And like, I was like, can balls literally squish that thin? Like, I didn't know.
It
looks like there's a centimeter in there, you know?
It's just for those listening, it's just called a cock and ball crusher. That's all.
Straightforward. Yeah. Although it did specifically have like, a hole for the cock. Like, it wasn't squishing the whole package.
It's just for the balls. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, like, flatten them between two panes of glass.
Yes.
And it was, like, you know, she has a gag in her mouth. And then he gets, like, these nipple suckers, like, suctions.
Yeah.
Little suction cups out, which I've never used, but...
I haven't either.
Yeah. I think they're fascinating. I did watch, after we did like that one video about Danorama, he has like an episode about like suction play. So I watched that because I was like, I had to know. And it's really fucking fascinating. I mean, if you're into that sort of like pleasure pain. Like, mm-hmm. I think suction is really cool. It just makes like the blood kind of rush, makes you hypersensitive.
It just makes it all the more intense.
Yeah.
And then he also has a ton of clamps. He puts
those
on her nipples. He puts those on her cock and on the sides of it. Like,
And her feet, like her feet are like freaking out. I don't know if you noticed that, but like the way that her legs are bound up, like when it's like getting really intense. And she's doing a good job. I mean, obviously we know from beforehand because her mouth is gagged, like there's a specific way that all kink does, like in every shoot, like the way, like if there's something in your mouth, like to for the safe word, to for things to stop. But she's still like, she's not doing that, obviously, but she's like being like, freaking out and like there's, she's enjoying the pain, but it's like,
An intense reaction. Because of the interview setup, we know if she wasn't okay, she would be specifically thrusting her head back and forth, which she's not doing.
Right.
But she is like curling her toes and like squealing and like sort of writhing inside of the straps. And it feels really like intense to watch.
Enjoying the kind of torture that is happening. And then he gets the flogger back out. He yanks them all off, all those clothespins off. And then we kind of move into like straightforward like sex.
Like he strips down and then
I loved it. When his dick got out. Like the thing about stuff like this is I'm not particularly turned on by the BDSM aspect of it, like especially like the S&M stuff. But I am turned on by watching someone else be turned on by it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, you have to believe that the person experiencing it is aroused by it for it to be arousing to you.
Or the person who is doing it. Like for it to see him turned on by it.
Yes.
And then touch
the
himself.
The dom or the sub.
Sub, like it has, yes.
Yeah, I mean, very simply, like, if it feels forced by the performers, I mean, then it feels like dangerous. Like if I don't buy that this person is into this, then I'm like, and it's like immediately a turn off. There's a thin line there.
Yeah, like I don't consider myself like a sadist or a masochist, but like watching someone else do it can be really exciting.
Really hot.
For me.
Yeah.
And then it goes into the point where like, and important to note, like it basically ends up being like, she's fucking turned on and she's like wants to get fucked, you know, and she loves it.
Yeah.
And we have a great scene. I really liked this video. I wasn't expecting to like it as much as I thought I would, but just because I'm not like a torture like S&M like person, but
yeah, like, sometimes like too much BDSM starts to feel clinical, like when it is like, okay, now we have this device and now we have this device.
Yeah,
but I did. Yeah, like it got me. Like there were moments that I really was like, ooh, like especially the nipple stuff.
Yeah,
like really, like. Was titillating to me, you know, and I started to get fun when Dale was jerking off and when Natalie was starting to get hard and Dale was like calling Natalie out on that and being like, oh, is somebody getting excited? You know, like there were moments of it that were like really titillating, even though it did have some of that like clinical element of like the devices and the apparatus and the whole thing that isn't necessarily my thing. So I think that's a sign of a really well executed porn that like,
absolutely.
This is created for folks with a much stronger kink for a specific thing than I have. And I still was like, oh, I get it. Like, this is really well executed.
And also seeing the switch, you know, of her being like, I don't want to do this. What's going on? I hate this. Then being like, oh, my God, like, fuck me in the ass. You know, like that is a turn on for me.
Yeah. And that's always like a great story if we can pull it off of being like, this person's resistant and then like, uncovering something or unleashing something they want and engaging with it. Like that's really hot when done
right. Exactly. Totally agreed.
And that is sort of the schoolgirl dream that we're all striving for.
Yeah. It's like, is being like, I don't know what's going on. And then being like, oh, the devil comes
my
out.
Sexual beast has been awakened.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
All right, should we talk about teen pies? Beautiful blonde schoolgirl gets cream pied by a big dick stud from Team Skeet, which
Team Skeet
has climbed the ranks to become one of my least favorite porn outlets just based on the opening montage. I was like, oh,
the things
fuck
that you're forced to watch sometimes at the beginning of a Pornhub video.
Yes. It's like sports movie music. Like it's like champion, like like really intense. Like here comes the battle royale at the end of the boxing movie, but it's just like big dicks, fucking shaved pussy, you know?
Right. And being like, whoa. Like,
yeah,
yeah, it's just upset.
That, you all know the montage. Right. You've seen it. That's that one. It's that
and you're
piece
always
of
like,
shit.
Ugh, can I click through?
And I also couldn't help being like, ugh, big dick stud. Like,
really?
Let's treat our fucking porn performers like breeding horses. Yeah, you know? Like, I don't know. That was just the first thing. Okay. No,
I mean, agreed. Also, she's literally wearing a Sailor Moon costume. Like,
yes,
that's where
we don't
start.
Acknowledge it. Like, how are you going to put someone in a Sailor Moon costume and then try to act like it's literally a school outfit when it's like cropped up to
the
her
United
tits,
States of America? You
and
know
literally
what I mean?
Her like, whole ass is hanging out of this tiny mini skirt. Yeah.
Right, right. And it's like clearly made of polyester. I mean, she's
it's ill-fitted. Joking. They're like darts where the tits should be. Her tits are like outside of because it's like badly sewn. It just it's a depressing Sailor Moon costume.
What killed me was she's like, it starts with like her like sitting on the bed or whatever. She's like trying to call someone. She's like, oh, he used to be available all the time. Like, why isn't he answering? Like, he's up to something. Like, I'm just going to go to his house. Like, literally speaking, her subtext aloud for us. You know?
Like the first, when it first started, I was like, oh, okay, sure. I would say that much out loud when she's like, where is, what, like, what the fuck? Like, why isn't he answering? That's as much as we would say out loud.
Right.
But the whole story of like, he used to be available whenever. He always answered every time. He has to be up to something. I'm going to go to his house and check up. I'm like, how dare you? How
here
dare
I
you?
Here I go. I'm standing up.
Here I go. I'm standing up. I'm walking outside of my house. I may or may not own a car. We don't get to know because now I'm walking up to our second location. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. And then she shows up to this house. And is greeted by a younger man.
Who she doesn't know? Like, where is she going?
Yeah, she's going to the house of her boyfriend, presumably.
But we don't know. Like, we don't know where she's going.
We just
so all we know is, like, someone isn't answering. She goes to a house that I'm assuming she's been there before because she didn't have to look it up. And then a guy answers and she's like, yeah, I'm looking for whatever his
name is. Michael,
I think. And he's like, and this guy goes, he's not allowed to have female friends.
Yes, he gives her a lot of up and down looks. And I do think that he's objectifying her as opposed to concern for her mental health based on her choice of outfit. But let's just make that assumption. Says that his father's not allowed to have female friends. It's like, this sounds like a healthy
marriage.
But we
don't even know that that's his father at this point. We don't even know that that's his dad. Like, at first, we just, like, we don't know who this person is. Like, we're at the wrong house. Like, why doesn't she know this guy if she's been to this house before? Like, what's he doing there? And then he's like, well, why don't you come inside?
Like, naturally.
I was like, what's going on?
Why don't you come inside and we'll discuss it?
Yeah. And then she sits down and he was like, so who are you? And then he goes, my dad doesn't have any female. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like, it's his dad? She doesn't know that he has a son? Like,
yeah. Well, she may know. Well, I don't need to justify for that. Anyway, like, we have this weird, like, business meeting between the son of her boyfriend and her.
Yeah.
He's like, all right, tell me who you are. Like, I'm gonna get to the bottom of this. We find out in the scene, like, oh, you're the girl they've been fighting about.
She's like, oh, well, I'm his girlfriend.
Yeah.
It's really weird to tell you.
She tells us that she made him, or he tells us that mom made dad change his phone number.
Right.
So that's why dad hasn't been answering Sailor Moon's calls.
Right.
and then it becomes a barter around, like, give me his phone number. Like,
right.
So if you could just give me his phone number, like, I can head out. And he's like, did you really think I was going to give you the number?
And then also,
important to note that this is, like, the most weirdly quiet. Like, they're not mic'd and they're, like, whispering. Like, it sounds like maybe the camera has a mic on it. So it sounds very far away. And they're like, so are you in high school or do you just like to role play? That's, like, the first question he asked.
And she's
which
like,
I actually
yeah.
was like, that's the most informed question anyone has asked because she looks like she's wearing an outfit for role play.
Right.
It does not look like a school uniform. And then she's like,
and
she goes, still in school.
I'm still in school. How old is this girl?
Yeah.
You know? And she's like, well, your dad is paying my rent, to be entirely honest.
Yeah, her whole life story is a little confusing. Like,
where are we?
Where, you know? Like, wait, you're living on your own. Are you, like, emancipated? Like, this boyfriend is paying your rent.
Yeah.
You're still in high school, we specifically say, which makes you underage, so that's not a good vibe.
This is wrong, yeah.
And then she just very quickly agrees to have sex, of course, obviously, with the son.
Because it wouldn't be mainstream porn if there wasn't, like, the plot line based around, like, human trafficking, you know?
Yes. And then she produces a condom from where I couldn't say. She's had it up her ass this whole time. It just magically appears, and she's like, okay, then.
Yeah.
And then he takes the condom and throws it and says, and says, we don't need that. You'll see that I'm a lot better than my dad.
What does that mean?
The fucking logic we're being handed is that condoms are like necessary to enhance the sexual prowess of a man, as opposed to having anything to do with, like, safety. But, like, I'm like, no, wait a minute. It's not that if you're good enough at sex, you don't need to wear the right not to use a condom.
Like, this is this is what is wrong.
This is the problem. She says, and then, you're very bold, sir. And then,
which I was like, what? Who told her to say that?
I kept trying to, like, respect what she was trying to do. Like,
sure.
I was like, let's assume there's not a script here and this is just a really uncomfortable improv all the way through. And she's the one to be like, you know what? He pays my rent. That's high stakes. That gives me a fucking thing to work with, as opposed to just being a psycho who's chasing someone's phone number down and showing up at their house looking for them. Sure. Sure. And then we proceed to sex. We start with a blowjob. I'm going to go out on a limb and say this is a bad blowjob.
What was happening with her head?
It's just, it was
like a weird, like,
it was too much. It was like all enthusiasm and no skill or execution.
Yeah.
There was and no real passion.
A weird head.
You know what
movement
I mean? Like, she was doing the thing where she's like moving her. She's like going up and down the dick super fast. She's working both hands. But it, like, does not appear that she has great dexterity with like hand work. Like, it just felt like kind of sloppily sliding around.
Yeah.
And then just a lot of, like, really fast shoving the dick back in her head while also moving her head too much.
It was like moving her neck too much.
It was like watching uncoordinated dancing. Like, it didn't feel like it's a nice, like,
it was not a well choreographed
movement. It didn't have a nice rhythm to it. No. It just felt like fast, too fast, too furious. I'm going to go out on a limb and say, too furious.
I wrote that the whole rhythm of the entire sex was bad because it was like one rhythm the entire time, just in different positions, and just a girl saying, oh my God, and, like, him slamming into her silently.
Mm-hmm.
So,
also,
there's no variety.
This poor guy has a dick that is not optimally shaped.
Yeah, it's curving the wrong way.
It's curving down. It's curving the wrong way. So a lot of the time I was like, is it that he can't get his whole dick in there? Like, we saw a lot of
I shouldn't say wrong way. Sorry to anyone. Like, there's nothing wrong with anyone's dick.
Yeah, we shouldn't shame anyone. But I just, I did feel bad that I was like, oh, man, like, that's not conducive, you know?
I mean, it is in doggy style, like, as someone I can attest, like, I've had a partner who had a very, like, a downward curve.
Had a downward dick?
Yeah, had a downward dick. And my God, doggy style was the best it's ever felt.
Yes, but they didn't do...
They didn't do that,
They didn't do anything to, like, accommodate the shape of the dick. Also, her clit was ignored...
The entire
until
time.
The very end, he's like, we've got three different, like, sex positions, and then we get to the end, and he's like,
she's like,
like, he sort of whispers the, like, cum is coming. He does the whispering prophecy of the cum on its way.
Yeah.
And then she's like, then she starts touching her clit, and she's like, I'm going to come with you. And I was like, no, you're not.
You're not
thinking of touching your clit now.
Now, yeah.
And you're 30 seconds out? Like, that's how we want to tell us. Clits work.
No
and
way.
Then she does she did do kind of a weirdly committal job of, like, shaking and, like, being like, and, like, acting like she was coming, which she clearly couldn't have been. But it just was, I just felt like this person has had a lot of bad, both people have had a lot of bad sex in their life.
The shallow fucking that happened at the end. It was like only going in for, like, 2 inches.
Yeah. He was, like, working the head of his dick.
Yeah.
On the,
which was
anterior
an interesting,
wall of
I mean,
her
yeah.
ass. Like, it has to have been what was happening. Like, that's,
and maybe that's where he's, like, most sensitive. I don't know.
Yeah, like, but that could literally be what he was doing, but it just was sort of...
It looked like he wasn't getting it in all the way. It was, like, looked like it was just for camera, you know?
Yes.
And then he comes, and it's supposed to be this huge cream pie, and there was, like, nothing.
Yeah, I mean, I don't care about how much jizz cream is coming out of a person. He pulls out and it drips, and I'm like, sure, right, fine. Yeah. I'm still mad that she faked the orgasm.
Right. Yeah, of course.
With such a, like, and I'll just, it's like the clit is a button you press and you just instantly
and
come.
And then he goes, she's like, can I get that number? Like, immediately afterwards. Mm-hmm. Can I get that number? And he goes, oh, you know, to be honest, like, his number comes up blocked on my phone. And I was like, are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah, they just had to, like, stick it to us at the end. Yeah. They couldn't
and he
even.
Was like, but I do have access to his money. And she's like, okay, that works. Like, okay. You wouldn't even, like, okay.
Yeah.
It was upsetting.
Just confusion of stakes and tracking of things and just not good enough. I was wondering if I was going to, like, get into the sex for this and at least be, like, terrible setup, but then it's fun. Like, the only part of the sex that I liked was when she was on top.
Yeah.
And it wasn't even because she was doing it. Like, it was still, like, a meat shot, so it wasn't even, like, fun. I like to, like, watch a wide shot of people fucking in any position, but especially with her on top. Like, just seeing her ass and his dick from the back is such a classic shot that I just am not a fan of. But weirdly, during that section, I liked the sounds she was making because she was like wearing herself out and she just seemed a little bit more like, ah, ah, and like a little bit more like deeper engaged and not so much the like, oh, my God, like, have you ever seen a dick inside my vagina? Like the weird,
I don't think she was-
uncalled for dismay.
I would argue that she wasn't more deeply involved. I would say that she was just exhausted from riding on top.
No, I think, I think that's genuinely what it was, is that she was like breathing
was
heavy. And I was like, that at least feels more like real sex than her just holding still and like being like open mouthed and fascinated that the stick is going inside of her, which is like what we got in most of the other positions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, safe to say that one will not be going in my spank bank. And
yeah, it didn't make it.
Wow, I'm mostly just disappointed that she didn't really love Michael, you know? Like, all she wanted was his money.
Mm-hmm.
I was led astray.
Yeah, it just was, there was no love story here to grab onto and only seemingly bad sex, despite his bragging in the early part of their conversation. Would you say that the other one is going in your spank bank?
It did turn me on.
Mm-hmm.
It did turn me on, for sure.
Yeah.
I really like Natalie Mars as a performer. So,
yeah, great performer. Both of them were great in that.
And, honestly, they're both great.
Basically, reiterating what I already said, like, not really my thing to just watch sustained BDSM for that long.
Yeah.
And especially the like torture and the device stuff. But because it was arousing, I think that's a testament to a great porn. And that I was
for
like,
sure,
this isn't for me, but I'm into this. You know, like this particular video is selling me on more torture play. So.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Life is long. Well, thanks so much for listening to Girls on Porn. You can find us on Instagram at Girls on Porn, that's porn without the O, on Twitter at GOP the podcast, at our website girlsonporn.com, or on Patreon, patreon.com/girlsonporn.
Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to the show if you haven't already. I mean, we were honored for a 2021 Webby, so you should probably subscribe. And if you leave us a 5-star review and leave your Instagram handle, we'll tag you on our Instagram and thanking you from the bottom of our hearts.
This has been Girls on Porn, the only GOP that's actually good.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.